them and what may be constraining us or what may be holding us back in our belief. I'm going to do my best to make points. And it was so is found six times in the scriptures on our first page. And it was so. Referenced this morning in our class, essentially. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, and God made the expanse and separated the waters which were above the expanse from the waters which were below the expanse, and it was so. In verse 9, and God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and the fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, and with seed in them on the earth. And it was so. And let them be in the stars for light in the expanse of the heavens give light on the earth. And it was so. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. Verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, and every bird of the sky, and to every moving thing on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. No single instance do we have where God did not speak it, and it did not become so. No place did the Jehovah speak, and it did not become so. And this is only the first week of creation, so that everything else that followed could become so. Whether it was a promise or a threat, the word of God has always been confirmed and fulfilled because it is so. We've had studies in our and recently in our classes where we've gone through the Old Testament. We've talked about how God could know and how everything falls into order and how everything that everybody that God uses falls into place and it just works out perfectly and it's amazing, and it is. But the essence of it is that with God, it is already so. He's already there. It's not like he's predicting something. It is so. It is. It's an amazing thing. I don't get it. He's already there. It's amazing to me. So we need to take a mental voyage, or at least we're going to, whether you guys want to or not. We're going to take this mental voyage through history this morning, because this is what was going through my mind. The promises that we've talked about for generation over generation, the things that were read in our hearing by Adam, are still in front of us. And some of them were pretty scary for some people. And some of them are pretty amazing for us. And if we don't get in our head that it is so, then we're going to be in a bad way, brothers and sisters. So, here we go. Isn't that amazing? I hate it, actually. I'm trying not to do it. I'm trying not to make it feel like a rubbed raw spot, but it is. I mean, it's just there now. I know. I'm going to try. So, here we go. From the very beginning of mankind, our greatest of grandparents, they violated the one single commandment that God gave them. Thou shalt not eat of the fruit. And they did. And he said, you shall surely die. And it was so. They, in real sense, died right there. It was a spiritual death that we all experienced. But right then and there, they were essentially dead. And it was an essential part of this sentence. He warned in his wrath that the ground around them that was so easily and fertilely used would become difficult. It would yield thistles and thorns, and we would eat by the sweat of our brow. And it was so. Later on, when he got tired of the defilement of mankind, where he separated that water above and below the expanse, I think we have a hard time recognizing what went on there until the flood. We have this flood that comes about. The utter corruption causes God to repent of his creation, and he sent Noah, a preacher of righteousness, to pronounce the horrible flood. And when, even when it didn't appear probable that it could happen, Noah's preaching turned out to not be any toothless rant. God had said that he would drown the world, and it was so. It happened. Just like he said, the springs beneath the reservoirs burst forth, and it was so, save eight people. A little farther down, the Lord appears to his servant Abraham, and he tells him of the wickedness of this place called Sodom and Gomorrah. So great was the cry that he could hear it from his throne. And the Lord communicated to his servant that he would go down and see for himself if it were so. And indeed, it was. Abraham pleaded, but they could find no righteous souls. So the condemnation stood and something that must have resembled hell came from the sky. It had to be horrible. It had to be a terrible thing to watch, didn't it? The morning dawned and all there was smoke from the destruction. That's horrible. That's horrible. Turn our attention to Israel and to the promises made to Abraham and to his offspring. Fulfilled to the letter. Every one of those promises were fulfilled to the letter. They went to Egypt and he told them, you're going to be there 400 years and then I'm going to bring you out. And even though they were entrenched and they really didn't even want to come, even in the misery of their lives, God pried them out, essentially. Pried them out in accordance to what? To his promise. Even when Pharaoh took strong measures to hold them back, God said that they would come out with a high hand and an outstretched arm. And it was so. Remember the works of Moses and the plagues. I watched something here very recently that tried to explain away everything. All those plagues and everything about them that can be scientifically proven. A red tide in the Nile that led to dead fish, that led to gnats, that led to flies and the frogs. And they could never explain to me, though, how come it only affected the Egyptians. They didn't have a scientific answer for that one. Pharaoh was hardened, and even though he wasn't able to resist because God had said, and it was so. God said that he would make an inheritance for his children. He would take them and root them out of Egypt and take them to a place that they would possess of their own. And it was so. The Canaanites had walled cities and chariots. They had an army that was far superior to anything that they could muster of their own, save the help of God. And he cast out the heathens and he planted them like a vineyard. And I'm thinking of Isaiah chapter 5, this beautiful vineyard that he planted in the midst of its enemies. And it was so. And after they had been there and comfortable for many years, they provoked the Lord to jealousy and he warned them. And he warned them and he warned them. And he said, if you sin against, the prophet said, if you sin against the Lord, you'll be given into the hands of your enemies. And it was so. But each time, after repeated thrashings, they repented and they cried out to God, and he had pity on them. Because that's what God does, at least for now. Came the dark days when they were captives in the land of captives and taken out of their own land and taken to Babylon and stretched all over the place. And they lived in the days of the prophets who looked for the promises and continued to look, watch for the promises. And time and again, God started to show them and started to reveal to them the essence of the promises that were going to finally come about. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 and 25, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy place. As you are to know and discern that from the issuance of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with moat, plaza and moat, even in times of distress. This promise came among many others, and those who knew the Lord waited for it, for the coming of this deliverer that they were seeking. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government of or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. There was no doubt that these things were going to come, and there's certainly no doubt that it was intended to extend beyond just the children of Israel. There's amazing prophecies in here. Isaiah chapter 17, verse 23. And that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians will come into Egypt, and the Egyptians into Assyria, and the Egyptians will worship with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be a third party with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that alliance in peace? Today, can you imagine that? But God has said it will be so, and it will be so. He intends that in Jesus Christ our Lord for that to be the case. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5, then the glory that Brother Randy spoke of early, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, and I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And in verse 9, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I shall give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. These promises were delayed a long time. We see a pattern develop. We see the children of Israel going off to Egypt and having to stay there 400 years before God's promises came. But they were supposed to remember them. Brother Dan just took us through a couple of weeks between the testaments. Guess how far long that was? 400 years plus. And the promises of God to bring about these things is exactly where we sit right now, having listened to these prophecies. And 400 years later, guess what happens? Comes Jesus, literally found in the form of man, walking among men is the Son of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a beautiful gift. Most significant promise of all, a gift that was meant for us from the foundations of the world. And that promise was kept. God said it would be, and it has been kept, and it is so, and it is so to this day. Why? So, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. All of it was because of that love. What an amazing thing to me. So, indicating the depth of His love. Imagine how much impact is lost in John chapter 3, verse 16, without that so. For God loved the world and He sent His Son. No, but He so loved the world. And if He so loved us, it lends itself to the intensity of His love for us, to the value of the gift that was given for that. What an amazing thing for us. Describing the depth of His love for us and His Son. What an uncommon God love. We can't even come close to understanding the love that God has for us. In that aspect of His persona and His personality. We can't even imagine what it is like to love a world that is like the world. It's in His very nature. So regardless of where we find ourselves in this life, we need to remember that God loves us. It's such an incredible aspect. Even our children want to be reminded of this. Isn't that incredible? We sit up here on Sunday evenings and you ask them what song they want to sing. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Listen, no further. The Bible tells me so. Right? They want that reassurance. I mean, there's a gazillion songs they want to sing. Jesus loves me. That's great. That's a wonderful thing. Why, though? Because the Bible tells me so. Grounded in something. grounded in something that the Lord has given us. There are so many reasons that God has given us so much provisions. He died for us. Just listen to this. Just listen. He died for us so that they might turn from darkness to light, in order so that they might receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance. So consider yourselves to be dead to sin. So then, each one of us shall give account of himself to God. So then, you are no longer strangers or aliens. So you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, so that you might know how one ought to conduct himself, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to engage in good deeds, so that your faith and your hope is in God, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, so that we might live through him. And if that's the result of everything that is intended for us, then finally John, 1 John 4:11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved the world, we ought to love one another." Listen, there's 2,880 of these in my Bible. So I couldn't have gone through all of them. This is not all coincidence. Or not all put together like this. It was amazing to me. There's a conclusion to be drawn. There's an assurance to be drawn from this. And it was amazing to me to find where the assurances come and the conclusions are drawn and the continuation of God's promises through these things and how they are all strung together here. He is empowering us through his grace and mercy to accomplish which would otherwise be unachievable. While all mankind deserves the wrath and punishment, God wants reconciliation. Romans chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of one the many will be made righteous. And the law came in that the transgression might increase. But there, where sin increased, grace abounds all the more. That as sin reigns in death, even so grace may reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But sadly, the world that God so loved fails to love him back, and in spite of it all, guess what the world says? So what? So what? How often is that the reaction to what God has done for us? So what? In spite of it all, it's that idiom just rings in my ears as I look at this. We just chew on that for a minute and think about it. In spite of his righteous declarations, in spite of what we know it says in his word about what man knows about him, what evidences are there, what grace and mercy has been extended to him, in spite of the fact that his very nature is love, and everything has been provided pertaining to life and godliness, and is granted us through the grace and mercy of God, the world says, so what? What a terrible, terrible thing. Our lesson this morning was intended to review the evidence, the written record that God has left. I know it may have been laborious and even a little elementary. That's not the point. The point is he gave it to us like that for a reason. He gave it for us that it's simple for us to hear it and to understand it and for us to see the record as it was laid out. The Bible is arranged in the testaments, and there's a reason for that. It is a written record of fact. It is the testimony that Kyle brought to us this morning. I am the testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These things are so. This is real. And what was read for us this morning by Adam is a very, very real final declaration that's been granted, been told us. Not unlike what we've seen in Sodom, and it was so. not unlike the promises to provide for his children, and it's been so. Not unlike the warnings that are out there for have been out there from the beginning of time for those people that would call themselves his children, and it'll be so. There's a reason that these things are laid out like this. And if we just choose to disregard or say so what to that beautiful message of peace, all that's left is the terrifying aspects of that. And that would be so sad. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We're wrapping up. Almost done. The Lord is not slow about his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any perish, but all to come to repentance. That's the verse that precedes what Adam wrote for us this morning, or read for us this morning. He's not slow. 400 years is not a long time for God. It's been more than that since we last heard from God loudly through a new prophet. It's been a lot longer than that. We have a lot of written evidence that tells us that it will be so. And I think all of us, the farther we get away from the cross, have the tendency to not, maybe necessarily, be as firmly convinced about what's coming and the imminence of it. And it's affecting our lives. It's affecting how we live our lives. It's certainly affecting the message that we give to other people around us and the importance of them to understand that there is a lot of things that need to be understood. There are a lot of things that need to be believed. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through that which is made, so that they are without excuse. They have no excuse. None of us do. We will all stand before God. And we will all, whether we want to or not, we will all stand before God and we will recall the things that he has revealed to us and exposed. I'm sorry, it's one of those lessons that we need to hear once in a while, I think. And I hope that it does what it has done for me. I am firmly convinced that when my Lord says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And that shows me his patience and his peace and his message that needs to go to others, that it does. Not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friends and brethren, the Lord is telling us with a perfect record what's going to happen. A perfect record. I think God is the most patient and loving Father and the most glorious version of what any God could possibly be. He could demand of us so much more. Demand it without making the provisions for us to approach him anew each day by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we have at our disposal each and every day. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish. Are you firmly convinced of that today? I hope so. And have you made that confession? I hope so. And if not, this is an opportunity. For God has pointed out to us through his word that he's dead set on following through with the fiery conclusion for this world and for this creation. And he's more than happy to bring us all to the throne of grace to live eternally with him. At his feet, with his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That opportunity is yours as we stand and sing the song that's been selected. Thank you.